But I'm going to go ahead and pray and get started. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would help me to speak and to articulate everything that you've given me to say today, Lord, that you would help us to learn, to be able to understand it, to receive it, Lord, and just help us, Lord, with studying your word and building Bible literacy, Lord, and just knowing how to come to it, Lord, and rightly divide it, Lord. And I just pray that we are helped and blessed and strengthened, Lord. I pray that you would empower me by your spirit, God, and just that we would hear from you, Lord, and you would help me. I am desperately reliant on you to help me to just recall everything that I'm talking about today and to speak it in a way that's clear. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. All right, so it is going to be different in these next two sessions, just like it was different in the last session. And y'all bear with me because it's going to kind of feel more like a classroom today than it is a Bible study. But I'm going to be teaching and sharing some, and then you'll be spending some time at your small groups at your tables together talking. And really, we're going to spend the majority of our time doing that today in small groups. So you'll be spending the majority of the time doing. And I pray that that blesses you. Last week when we did the small groups, I was very blessed and I was very helped. And honestly, I would much prefer to hear all of you talk than me, you know. But truly, whenever I'm participating in a Bible study, the Lord helps me to grasp it better, to retain what I'm learning much better. So I just pray that y'all will be blessed as y'all all minister to one another. But we're going to be going through the inductive Bible study method. We're going to talk through what that is, and then we're going to actually study a passage of Scripture together using it. And I've picked a passage that hopefully is something, a passage that we're all more familiar with, but I pray that as we read it together in our groups, that we'll be just encouraged and blessed. It's a passage in John chapter 10 where Jesus says, "I am the door, I am the good shepherd." So just being reminded of him as our good shepherd, I just pray that that'll encourage our hearts. But is anyone familiar with the inductive Bible study method? Has anyone heard of that before? Miss Linda? Okay. So simply what it is, and before I say what it is, I want to say I am going to be going through a lot of information today. And don't feel a pressure to absorb it all or to soak it all in. When I got into this, I kind of realized I probably could have spread this out a little bit more, you know, across more sessions. There's a handout with everything in it that I'm going to talk about that you can refer to. There's a QR code that you can scan for videos to actually watch about each part of the process. So it's going to be a resource that you're going to continue to go back to and back to, I hope, and that blesses you and helps you. I am not an expert at this myself. I am learning. So I want to encourage you with that too. We're learning together. And I've just been stirred to really build Bible literacy, you know, in myself, and to know how to come to the Word and study it and rightly divide it. And I'm praying, you know, that when my children are old enough and they can read and they're a little bit older, that I can teach them this and I can teach them to study the Word. So it's just really about building Bible literacy. And I do want to also just emphasize, I've wanted to be so careful to emphasize this, that we are so reliant on the Holy Spirit, you know, throughout every time we open the Word. He is our teacher. He is our guide. We need to be sensitive to Him. And we're desperate for Him. Even though we're talking about a Bible study process, we're really desperate for Him to lead the whole process and to speak to us. And at any point in the process, He can open our eyes in a new way. He can wow us. He can grab us. He can show us something at a greater depth, which is exciting. And He wants to do that, and we want Him to do that. So I just want to say, you know, we're following this Bible study process, but we're being so reliant on the Holy Spirit throughout it all. So the inductive Bible study method, just very simply, what it is we're coming to God's Word, and we're setting aside our own preconceived notions, our own cultural biases, our own, you know, experiences in the world, our own even ideas of what we think the Bible says or what we think a particular book of the Bible says, we're setting that to the side and we're just coming to the Word. We're coming to a passage and we're looking at the facts, the information, and the evidence that's being presented to us in the Word, and we're drawing conclusions based on that. So we're seeking to draw out and really extrapolate meaning from what we're seeing in the Word, and we're seeking to study it in its context, the Bible in its full context. So that's what we're doing with inductive Bible study. Really, throughout the whole process, we're asking questions of what we're reading to draw out the intended meaning. But inductive Bible study is made up of three steps. It's observation, interpretation, and application. So we want to first take time to observe what the text says, so that we can interpret it, we can pull out the intended meaning, and we can apply it rightly to our lives, of course, with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And each step really builds upon the other. And so why is inductive Bible study helpful? Why would we want to study the Word this way? And very simply, I would just say it helps us to kind of take a step back and say, hey, the Bible is an ancient book that was written ages ago to an audience that lived years ago, and there's much distance between them and us. It is for us. It's for every generation. It's for every generation to come. The truths are firmly fixed forever in the heavens. But it just helps us to see, you know, to try to step into the shoes of the Bible's original audience and to hear it and to experience it and read it and take it in the way that they would have. So there's some distance between us and the original authors and the original audience. There's great distance. And just some examples of the gaps that exist. There's language gaps, geographical gaps, cultural gaps between us and the original audience of the Bible, the original hearers. So the language gaps. The Bible was written in ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek. So sometimes, and I know many of us know this and we do this, but we have to maybe look up a Hebrew or a Greek word to get to understand, you know, and see it in other contexts in the Bible to maybe get a deeper understanding of the passage that we're studying. There's geographical gaps. So many of us, I know myself personally, we're not very familiar with the geographical landscape of the biblical world, you know, where things were, the terrain, what it would have been like to live there and experience it. And sometimes taking time to kind of dig deep into that and get that perspective, we're just really trying to get the right perspective, can help us draw out just a greater, richer meaning. I want to read an example of geographical information that can help our understanding of a passage. And this is coming from a book in the Real Life Theology series. This is book two in that series. Leah and I have been going through it, and I have learned so much. I've been so blessed, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it. But here's the example I want to share with y'all. So when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, he mentioned a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. What was Jesus referring to when he spoke of going down to Jericho from Jerusalem? And why would this man get robbed during the journey? A look into the geography reveals that Jericho sat about 1,500 feet below sea level, which made it much lower in elevation than Jerusalem, which was around 2,500 feet above sea level. Additionally, a look at the history of the region shows that the road from Jericho to Jerusalem was often crawling with robbers who would wait to prey upon somebody in order to steal their possessions. So when Jesus spoke this parable, it would have been plausible for the audience to picture someone traveling down to Jericho and getting robbed. And by understanding the geography, it informs a proper understanding of the passage. So it just helps us to see it, to perceive it, to take it in the same way they would have and to picture it. Another example is the cultural gap. So obviously our cultural our culture is very different from the culture of people who lived in Bible times. They had different cultural norms, social norms. Their occupational world was very different from ours. And so taking time to kind of gain that perspective and look into that can help us in our study of the Word too. An example of this, so in the passage that we're going to study, John chapter 10, when Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, I have a little bit of information there that is really helpful in terms of understanding how an ancient sheepfold worked in biblical times. It was a rock wall, and just a simple rock wall enclosure with an opening that didn't have a door. And so the shepherd of the sheep, he would literally lay his body across the opening. He would encamp in that opening. So the sheep would have to go through him to come in and out. He was the door. And likewise, if there was a predator, someone who wanted to get into the sheepfold to cause the sheep harm, they would have to crawl across the shepherd's body. So when Jesus is telling people, I am the good shepherd, and they understand, you know, what he's talking about when they can picture a shepherd in their modern day and a sheepfold, imagine the depth of just the richness that they're getting from what he's saying, because they understand how a sheepfold works, you know. And so just understanding those things, it just can bring richness to our study of the Word. So the first step in the process that we're going to talk about, and I know, again, this is a lot of information. It feels like classroom, but y'all just bear with me. So the first step, and I think, yep, it timed out. That's fine. I'm just not even going to use my PowerPoint. But the first step in the inductive study process is observation. So we're coming to the Word, and before we do that, we want to answer the questions. You know, we're coming to a passage. We want to answer the questions. Who is the author of this book of the Bible? Who is the audience? Are there any significant historical events taking place that I need to know of that can help inform my understanding of what I'm studying, you know, that's going to give greater meaning to it? And then the genre. We talked about that in the last session, biblical genres. So is this historical narrative? Is it prophecy? Is it poetry? Is it wisdom literature? Because those all have different literary styles, and it's going to help us to approach that book in the right way when we understand that. So in observation, we're simply just coming to the passage and we're saying, what does it say? What does it say? And what does it say? And what do I see? So we're reading it, we're taking it in, and as we're doing that, we're answering the questions of who, what, these investigative questions of who, what, when, where, why, and how. And those are all on the inductive Bible study handout if you want to see those and look through those. But who is speaking, who's writing, who are they speaking and writing to, what is happening, when is the event occurring, the time of day, the year, is there a Jewish feast going on during the time of whatever it is that I'm reading, where is this taking place geographically, is the setting someone's home, why, what are some of the reasons for the actions in the text, why is the author making that particular statement in that way? How are the recipients to accomplish the task at hand? How did the recipients overcome the problem? How did the author overcome the problem? So we're going through, we're reading, and we're just trying to answer those investigative questions as we read. And some practical things you can do as you walk through the step of observation is repetitive reading. You know, just read it as many times as you can. Take it in, you know, read it some, listen to it on the audio Bible, some in your car. But just really get it in you, get a working knowledge of it, get it under your skin. Read the passage in a few different translations. Seeing the different wording can be really helpful. Hey, how are you doing? Welcome. No, not at all. We're just glad you're here. Thank you. Read it in a few different translations. Get that different wording. And yeah, it can help. So it helps me tremendously to do that. Mark up the passage. And a lot of people don't like to make markings in their Bible. I understand. I'm one of them. So if you can, print out the passage on a separate Word document, and then you just have the freedom to highlight and mark and circle and questions and all, you know, to your heart's desire. So do that. Mark repeated words, phrases, notate the key characters in the passage, key words, notate key actions that are happening in the passage, notice comparison and contrast, cause and effect, observe the author's original tone. Write down questions that are just coming to mind, you know, as you're going through it, write out questions. Get to a place of comprehension of it to where you can maybe paraphrase it, you could summarize it, you could maybe jot down a quick outline of it. And maybe even, you know, if you were given like a simple quiz on it, you could answer just factual information or details. Like if you were given a quiz on the creation account, you could answer, you know, what did God create on which day? You know, that's kind of the working knowledge you want to have of it. And then we get to the interpretation step. We're just doing observation, talking through observation and interpretation today. In the next session, we'll talk through application. But in interpretation, we're asking the question, what does it mean? So in observation, we've said, what does it say? What am I seeing? In interpretation, we're asking, now what does it mean? And in this step, it can be really tempting to want to seek to apply, to jump there right away, like I know it is for me. But we're seeking out the meaning. And it's important to remember that the meaning, it's an objective meaning. It's not something that we're like pulling out of a hat or we're saying, oh, I think it means this. But it's objective, and it's been predetermined by the Holy Spirit who gave it to the human authors. And it's for us, the reader, to discover. You know, it's a predetermined, intended meaning for that original audience that we're seeking to draw out. This is different from application, where it's being applied to our current life. It's just the meaning of what did the Holy Spirit intend to, what meaning did he intend to give to that original audience. We're looking for also those transcendent principles and truths that were true for them then. And then in application, we're going to apply it and, you know, look at how it's true for us now in our individual lives in each of the places where we're at. Of course, relying on the Holy Spirit to help us do that. So whenever I'm seeking to do interpretation and draw out the meaning, I'm definitely, we want to use scripture to interpret scripture. We want to, some questions that we might ask as we go through this step is, what did the author or person speaking mean when they said this to the original audience? Why is that important? How might the original hearers have received what's being said and why? What did it mean to them and why? So we're really getting at the meaning. Some practical things we can do is we can, as we're seeking to, you know, get a greater understanding of what we're reading and using scripture to do that, we can check cross-references and compare scripture with scripture. So every verse, you know, if you have a study Bible in the margin or in the footnotes, there's cross-references there. So you can go to those cross-references and those ideas, those concepts that you're studying in your passage are going to be repeated in those cross-references in other contexts throughout the Bible. And seeing that and reading that, that can really give greater depth of meaning to what you're studying if you're having a hard time understanding it. Simple word studies are also very helpful. I know many of us already do that and are familiar with that, but going into like an online lexicon and looking up the original Hebrew word or the original Greek word, seeing that word in other verses, in other contexts throughout the Bible is super helpful. For example, one word that we're going to look up in the passage in John chapter 10 that we're studying is the Greek word for no. We're going to look that up, and then we're going to see it in a couple of other verses in the Bible, and it just is going to help us to understand what Jesus was saying to them. I think it's in verses 14 and 15 when he's saying, my sheep will know me and I will know them just as the Father knows me. We're going to get a greater depth of understanding of what that word know means. We can do topical studies and kind of trace themes across the Bible. So like if a topic emerges, you can search that topic in a concordance online, for example, and see it also in other places within Scripture. We're going to do that with the theme of shepherd. We're going to see how it's talked about, how that concept's talked about in other passages in the Bible, and see, you know, what does it mean when Jesus says he is the good shepherd, and how does that contrast with shepherds that aren't good, you know? So we're going to look at that. And then another practical thing as we're seeking to do the interpretation step is, in the last session we talked about the biblical meta-narrative, so the big story, the big overarching story of the Bible. So the passage that we're studying, we can ask the question, how does this fit into the big picture? How does this fit into the big story of the Bible? And then we can seek to look at that passage through the lens of the big story of creation, fall, redemption, restoration, like we talked about last week. So I know this is probably like drinking from a water hose, like on its highest volume. So thank you for bearing with me. It's a lot of information. Look back at the handout. It's something that I personally, as I've sought to learn it, I've just had to revisit and revisit and read and practice. There's videos again that are helpful. But I know me personally, if someone said, okay, here's the inductive Bible study method, here's observation, interpretation, and application, and they gave me a passage and said, now do it, I would be very overwhelmed and scared and would probably leave. So what I've done, yeah, no, would be me, be like, bye. But what I've done is I've given us in each step some prompts and questions. So I've got the passage typed out and print it out for you so that you can read it, mark it up, and then there's some prompts. You know, what do you notice about this key character or phrase or word? And then there's some questions to help us in our observation step. So we're just going to do observation together today. And then when you get to the pages at the back, that say interpretation at the top, that's something, there's prompts for that as well. And that's something that we're going to do on our own throughout the next week. So you can just, it leads you through a word study, a very simple word study. It leads you through checking cross references. It traces the theme of shepherd. So you're going to go in interpretation throughout this next week. You're going to go and visit other places in the Bible that talk about shepherd. So we're going to be prompted along and helped along, so it's not like we're kind of blindly looking at a passage and just doing it. So does anybody have any questions before we get started? We're just doing observation together. Any questions? Just what does it say? What do I see? Mark, highlight, and then follow the prompts and do that together. Everybody feeling all right about this? No, that's not. Thank you for asking it, Kayla. So the first page is just some legwork I've done for y'all. So the author of the book of John, the audience of the Gospel of John, there's some context there. So in the book of John, Jesus makes 7 big I am statements, which I didn't realize until recently. 7 I am statements. 2 of those are I am the door and I am the good shepherd. And those are the ones that we're going to be studying in this passage. There's the information about sheepfolds in ancient Israel. And then I've gone through and I've answered the who, what, when, where, why, how, just to kind of have that legwork done. I'm just praying that we can kind of just see how the process works and get a feel for it. And then on the next page is the passage. And we'll read through it and then follow the prompts. Any other questions? Okay. Yay! But y'all, yeah. Did you have a question, Ms. Lynn? No? Okay. If y'all just take some time to read it, someone in your group can read it out loud, but, someone kind of, I just pray everybody can participate, and someone take the leadership of your at your table if need be.